95.3 WBCK now presents Coach's Corner, live from Lakeview Ford. For over six decades, this has been your number one source for all local sports information. Coach's Corner is proudly presented by Lakeview Ford, where community matters. Now, here's your host, Bill Broderick.
This is Bill Broderick, sports editor of the Battle Creek Inquirer. It's our last Coach's Corner of 2024, as we will be off the Saturday after Christmas, and we will be returning the weekend after the new year. But as for now, I'm in the big chair once again on WBCK for another week of Coach's Corner for the boys' basketball season, coming to you from downtown Battle Creek at Lakeview Ford on the Motor Mile. For more than 60 years, Coach's Corner has been talking to the high school coaches about the week in sports, and we will continue that as we look ahead to another week of the high school basketball season and look back at last week with our first coach of the morning. But first, here is the Lakeview Ford Coach's Corner scoreboard. In early games this week, on Tuesday, Lakeview defeated Grand Rapids Ottawa Hills in dramatic fashion in the closing seconds, 60-59 at home. Harper Creek went into overtime before beating Portage Central 76-74. Penfield beat Vicksburg 62-57. Battle Creek Central lost to Onsted 58-37. And St. Phil beat Mendon 77-59. Most of the city and area teams played their final game before the holiday break on Thursday, so there weren't any games last night. But in action in the city on Thursday, in boys' hoops, in the Inquirer game of the week, in a battle of the two teams that shared the Southwestern Michigan Athletic Conference East Division title a year ago, Kalamazoo Central came to play at Lakeview, and the Maroon Giants came away with a 68-49 win over the Spartans. In Interstate 8 conference action, both Harper Creek and Penfield were on the road. Penfield went down to Coldwater and came away with a 57-55 win. And Harper Creek played the Interstate 8 conference division champs from last year, Palmer Western, and beat them 51-45. Battle Creek Central lost to Loynark 69-47. In girls basketball action in the city on Thursday night, Lakeview beat Kalamazoo Central 44-41. Harbor Creek lost to Parma Western 65-24. Coldwater beat Penfield 39-21. And Battle Creek Central beat Loynark 60-33. We will be back with our first coach of the morning after this break on Coach's Corner on 95.3 FM WBCK.
Tom.
Coach's Corner on 95.3 WBCK. Proudly brought to you by Lakeview Ford, where community matters. Here's Coach's Corner.
This is Bill Broderick, sports editor of the Battle Creek Inquirer, back here on Coach's Corner. While we're waiting for our first coach of the morning to come down here to Lakeview Ford on the Motor Mile, we'll talk about a couple of the games this week from a couple of coaches that we know that aren't going to be able to join us this morning. Penfield coach Robbie Hatton is taking an early vacation after getting off the final game of the week this week, and he'll be gone this week. And as well as Battle Creek Central coach Durant Crum wasn't going to be able to come down here. But let's talk about what happened with those two teams this week while we have a chance here. On Tuesday, Penfield, they've been having an impressive season so far, and they continued that little run. They beat Vicksburg 62-57. Penfield led 22-10 after the first quarter. Vicksburg cut the lead to 32-28 by halftime. But then Calvin Pazins, who's been having a really nice year this season, had 23 points, including 5 3-pointers to lead Penfield. Jonathan Lake added 17 points, and Brevin Bailey chipped in with 9. Penfield won that game and went to 4-2. The thing about Penfield so far is that big front court that they have, Calvin Pazins and Jonathan Lake and Brevin Bailey, they've been a lot of trouble for a lot of teams. And that's been tough for other teams to kind of handle. And that was kind of shown out on Thursday also as Penfield went down to Coldwater and played a road game in Interstate 8 Conference boys basketball. They came away with a 57-55 win. The game seemed to be a little bit more in hand than they thought. Penfield was up 57-50 with just about a minute left. Penfield had a 55-50 lead after a big three-pointer by Calvin Pazins. And then they were up 57-50 with a couple of free throws from Jonathan Lake. And then, but Coldwater rallied in the closing minutes to make it a one-possession game. Coldwater had a chance to win that game with a late three-pointer, but that was off. You know, Penfield, with that victory, started the season 5-2. There seems to be a smooth transition for the Panthers with Coach Robbie Hatton taking over this year as the first year. Penfield ended last season with a nice run. Even though they were sub-500 last year in the regular season, they got hot at the right time, won the district championship, and they seem to be grabbing that momentum and moving on to this year. A lot of those same kids that were making big plays last year are back, and they've continued on that role and got going. And to start out 5-2 is big for Penfield. Battle Creek Central played two games this week also, and they on Tuesday they played an undefeated Onsted team, and Onsted came away with 58-37 win in a non-conference game. Josh Pittman had 11 points to lead the Bearcats. He has been coming on strong for the Bearcats all season long and played well again. And then on Thursday, Battle Creek Central was in conference play, and they were playing Lloyd Norris, and they lost 69-47. That dropped their record to 1-6 on the season, 1-2 in the division. And against the Lloyd Norris team, that's 3-3 overall. Jeremiah Warren came up with 21 points, his best game of the year for the Bearcats. And they are still looking for that second win of the year. They beat Gull Lake a week and a half ago and matched their win total from last year in the regular season. But they're looking to do a little bit more this year with a team that's coming back. And the Bearcats are hoping to do that with the roster that they have. Jeremiah Warren and Josh Pittman and Ebion Wilson, three seniors that got some playing time last year. And they're hoping those players are going to give them the boost that they need to kind of get over the hump here and get things going. And it's going to be a work in progress for Durant Crum and his crew as they move forward. We will be back with our next Coach of the Morning after this break on WBCK 95.3 FM.
This is Brad Carpenter. Coach's Corner will be on Christmas break. As a result, Bob Coward and myself will be filling in for 1 hour on Saturday. We'll be talking gardening, taxes, or whatever else crosses our minds. So be sure to tune in and give us a call this coming Saturday, December 28th. 9 a.m. for Saturday Morning with Bob and Brad. Jim Mead will be working the phones. That's Bob and Brad this Saturday at 9 a.m. on 95.3 WBCK. Coach's Corner on WBCK, brought to you by Lakeview Ford, where community matters. Now back to the show.
This is Bill Broderick, sports editor of the Valkyrie Inquirer, here with our first coach of the morning here, Lakeview coach Steve Wickman. Good morning, coach.
Hi, Bill. How you doing?
Doing real well.
Great.
We are heading into the holidays, but we had a couple games this week for most of the city teams, and you guys played twice, and a couple of dramatic games for you in terms of big crowds and nice atmosphere for basketball. You had a big game on Tuesday against a team that you hadn't seen before. And, Grand Rapids, Wyoming came into town, and you guys, that game kind of went on down to the wire. I mean, Grand Rapids, Ottawa Hills, you guys won 60-59.
And that don't game, give us any more losses than we
no,
had.
No, that's right. You won 60-59, and that game went down to the final play. And you guys came away with a win. Talk about what that can mean for a team when they're challenged from a good team, and then they come away with a victory in the last minutes in terms of making things happen when you need to.
Yeah, it was nice to see. We had no knowledge of Ottawa Hills. They had only played one game, and so we were coming in blind a little bit. And sometimes early in the year, that's not a bad thing. You know, you got to adjust on the fly. And I thought our kids handled it well. They were a very physical team. They pressured the ball all over the court, and I thought that we did a nice job of handling it. Honestly.
You had a little adversity yourself. Your leading scorer and All-State point guard, LeBron Campbell, did not play in the first half. But your team held it together there and were in the game at halftime. And that was key because you had a big second half. But if you weren't in the game at halftime, you're only trailing 34-33. If you hadn't put yourself in that spot, then you might not have come away with a win. So talk about those kids that kind of came up big in that first half. With LeBron on the bench there.
Yeah, I thought, first of all, Owen Davis stepped in at point guard for us. He's been kind of our backup point guard all year. And it's kind of a new role for him this year. We're kind of forcing him to do it a little bit, but he has the knowledge and the ability to do it. So I thought he did a great job of running the team. I thought he did a nice job of taking what the defense gave him. He made a couple buckets, and it was very nice to see him perform the way he did and lead our team. And then I thought, Isaiah McFerrin had a nice game. He's a junior this year, that was on the JVs last year. And he's starting to come into his own a little bit, and he had a nice game as well. And I thought Deontay Bibbs played really well. So those are three guys that are rotation guys. You know, they don't start. And hadn't been getting a ton of minutes prior to that. But then, in that first half, those guys all did a great job. And I would be remiss if I didn't talk about Braden, too. Braden McGill had a really nice game. And he's talk about coming into your own. He's starting to have a really, really nice season.
Yeah, the big man in the paint for you. He got you guys started on a fast start for that game, as you threw the ball into him and got some easy buckets that way. And you needed that because you had to look at the floor and saying, based on what we've done to the regular season thus far, you were seeing where your points were going to come from. But you did come up with 33 points in one half, which is great for Lakeview in that situation from a lot of players that were stepping into new roles. And then you were in the game at 34-33 at halftime, and then LeBron came off the bench in the second half, and he went and scored 14 of the next 15 points for Lakeview, and including a three-point play that made you tied for the first time in the second half at 50-50. And then it was on after that. It was back and forth. And
it was on, yes. Yes, it was.
And it turned into a final-minute situation where it's gone back and forth, and free throws here and there, and LeBron split a pair of free throws to tie the game at 59-59 after a technical foul on Ottawa Hills. And then they got the ball back, and then he came up with a steal. He had another pair of free throws, split another pair of free throws in the next possession. And then on Ottawa Hills' last chance, he himself came up with a steal to seal the game. LeBron just also showed what player he means to you guys in terms of that second half and why you do need him. You learned in the first half you can play without him, but then in the second half you kind of learned why you do need him sometimes.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think that's a great way to put it. I think in the long run it's good for our team that other guys stepped up. But I don't think it's a secret either to anybody that we need LeBron on the court, and we're a much better team when he's out there. I don't know this, but I feel like he came off the bench just on fire, and he was fresh, wasn't worn out at all, and maybe that was part of the deal. But he ended up shooting 16 free throws. He just kept taking the ball to the hole, and then he did make the big three. And he's an All-State player for a reason. He's very good.
You guys scored 27 points in the second half. He had 21 of those points, still led you in scoring there, playing only the two quarters. Tavion Newton, who you mentioned before, had 12 points and 8 rebounds. Your big front line, they was key, and you and I talked about that on Tuesday night and how you guys dominated the glass. You out-rebounded Ottawa Hills 45-29, and Braden McGill and Jackson Hardy were a big part of that. Jackson Hardy had 7 rebounds, and Braden had 8 rebounds. And when you see that dominating on the glass and controlling that glass, that bodes well for the rest of the season, right?
Oh yeah, of course. You know, rebounding is something we preach all day, every day, you know, and so our goal is to try to out-rebound teams by 10 or more every night, and, you know, to get 16, plus 16 is huge. You know, that's 16 possessions that they're not getting. So that's it's a testament to what we work on all the time. You know, we work on it every day, and I think Jackson Hardy has really taken on a role of, like, I'm going to get every rebound that's there. You know, I think he's really embrace the idea that I need to rebound. He can score, he can rebound, and he's also, you know, with him and Braden together, you know, I feel like if we can get, you know, 20 points and 15 or 20 rebounds out of those two together, we're gonna have a chance every night.
And that's a lot of size that you don't always have every year at Lakeview. They're both over 6'5" and with thick shoulders, and they can do that job for you. So that's huge for you, and in the meaty Smack East. and you found out of that a little bit. You face another big team on Thursday. Kalamazoo Central, Lakeview, and Kalamazoo Central tied for the East Division Championship last year, and the first division title for the Spartans in a long time. Kalamazoo Central is used to winning those kind of things, but you guys took it to them last year and got a big win, and were able to share that title. So that made Thursday's game, when they came to your place, a big one in terms of that, and in terms of who was going to kind of set the tone for this year. Kalamazoo Central came away with a 68-49 win in the end, but it was tight in the third quarter, and then it kind of got away from you guys in the second half. And the key, and maybe the takeaway, is that their pressure defense kind of gave you guys fits, and then it kind of was rolling downhill at that point once it started giving you fits.
Yeah, you know, when they put the pressure on, we had prepared for it. I thought we don't generally have problems with pressure because we have a good point guard.
Yep.
You know, but when you put a 6'7" kid on the front of the pressure, I think it's a different look. You know, you can't show that in practice at all. And you know, they put the big kid on the front of that, and I think it caused our guards a little bit of hesitation. I thought we played a little bit unsure of ourselves, and you know, and we turned the ball over, and you know, you gave them credit, they're a good team, you know, but we you know, towards the end of the third quarter there, we couldn't find an answer, and we rotated guards, and it seemed like it was the same result.
Yeah, they're big guy, Isaiah Theodile, I think is.
Yeah, I have no idea how to say that.
He's
their big guy.
He's their big guy, 6'6", 6'7", and he was on Detroit Free Press's top 100 players to start the season, the preseason, and he's an athletic big man, and he had a dunk for them to when they went up 49-33 and kind of to end a 21-6 run there in the second half after you guys had cut the lead to 28-27 and kind of put the game away from there. But did you see some things in that game that did give you guys some confidence maybe when you go to their place later on that maybe something can be different?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, let's not forget that we were up 14-5,
yep.
Right? So we did some. We obviously did some good things early on. We're up 14-5, and then they, you know, you're never going to beat. You know, it's not going to last forever against a good team. So you knew they were going to make a run and come back, and you know, we had a little bit of a medical emergency in the crowd. And so both teams ended up going to the locker room. I don't know how it seemed like it was 4 hours. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know how long it was. 25 minutes.
That happened soon after that 14-5 lead.
Yeah.
And that was a big delay. Yeah. And it was at least a half hour. And both teams went to the locker room and both had to come out and warm up again. And both teams were in that situation, but it also took away your momentum a little bit.
Yeah. And you know, it was disappointing that happened, that the way we responded was kind of disappointing. You know, we talked about it in the locker room during that delay, that a lot of times in these situations, one team's ready to come back and one team's not. And unfortunately, we were the team that was not ready to come back. I think they used that time to regroup and refocus. And, you know, I, and I, I told the guys, like, I don't know what we're supposed to do right now. I've never had this happen before, you know. So we kept it pretty loose and, you know, just, we talked a little bit about what we were doing and what we needed to keep doing. And but when the ball came back, you know, when the everything cleared up and we came back out on the court, we were not the same team at that point. And that was disappointing. But then we, you know, even after all that, we started the second half, I think, 8-0, right? 7-0, 8-0, and got it to a one-point game. So the answer, the long-winded answer to your question is yes, we did see a lot of really good things in that game that give us confidence going forward. Again, we had some guys step up and play different roles in different minutes. And, you know, I like how we competed. I think the score is a little misleading at times. But I thought that we had enough moments of greatness, if you will, that, yeah, there's a lot of positives that came out of that thing.
LeBron led you with 15 points and 6 rebounds. Spencer Shotwell got hot from the outside, and really during that first segment he was hot, and then that little break kind of maybe affected him more than other people. But he had 12 points on 4 triples. And Braden McGill had 10 points and 12 rebounds, playing big inside there for you. Now you have the break here, and it's not a huge break for you because all the city teams are going to be playing in the Chuck Turner Classic a couple days after Christmas, on the Friday after Christmas down at the Fieldhouse. So you're going to have to sneak in a couple practices between then and now. But just talk to us in general about excited about playing another year at the Chuck Turner Classic down at the Fieldhouse.
Yeah. That, you know, we talk about this every year, Bill, and it's a special place. It's special to the city. It's special to me. It's kind of where I cut my teeth a little bit, you know, in coaching. And I enjoy going down there, and especially over the Christmas break. It's so rich in tradition, you know. We've been doing this forever, and hopefully it continues to go on. I'm hearing rumblings that maybe, I don't know. It's just rumors. But at this point, you know, we need to get back in the gym and fine tune some things. And Harper's playing really well right now. So that'll be quite a challenge on that Friday.
Well, we'll look forward to that. And you have a good holidays yourself there as you move forward here. And
thank you, sir. Merry Christmas to you and your family and everybody out there.
All right, that's true. I echo those sentiments. Thanks, Coach, for coming on down here this morning. And we will be back with our next Coach of the Morning here on WBCK 95.3 FM after this.
This is Brad Carpenter. Coach's Corner will be on Christmas break. As a result, Bob Cowart and myself will be filling in for 1 hour on Saturday. As a result, we'll be taking calls on gardening, taxes, and whatever else tosses our minds. So be sure to tune in and give us a call this coming Saturday, December 28th at 9 a.m. for Saturday Morning with Bob and Brad. Jim Mead will be working the phones. That's Bob and Brad this Saturday at 9 a.m. on 95.3 WBCK. Coach's Corner on 95.3 WBCK. Proudly brought to you by Lakeview Ford, where community matters. Here's Coach's Corner.
This is Bill Broderick, sports editor of the Battle Creek Inquirer, back here on Coach's Corner. We're here with our next coach of the morning here, Coach Kimber of the St. Phil Fighting Tigers. Good morning, Coach.
Morning, Bill.
We had St. Phil played one game this week. You played Mendon. You came away with a 77-59 win. It was a fourth straight win for the Tigers. You guys have opened the season at 4-1. A nice start for your veteran team there. Jackson Diswick had 24 points. Carter Diswick at 23, and Lincoln Diswick at 13. The Diswick triplets came up again, big for you once again. And talk about how that game kind of started and how you kind of pulled away from there.
Yeah, we haven't been getting off to fast starts at all this season. So on Monday, we actually got off to a fast start. We scored, I think, 24 in the first quarter. That was a nice surprise. You know, we went out there in the first possession and the kids recognized right away that they were putting a box and one on Jackson. And I'm not trying to give any coaching secrets out there right now, but I don't think my team is a good team to go box and one on because we have an ample amount of scorers. I think Carter Diswick scored the first 11 points of the game, and I think they were pretty much the first five possessions of the game, and we were up 11-4, and they pulled the box and one off pretty quickly once we let Jack hang out on the right side of the court and let Carter, Colton, Sawyer, and Lincoln just handle it on a little bit of an overload on the left side. So it was a good win, good way to start the offense because we've been getting down on ourselves really. I mean, Bronson, we got down. Concord, it was kind of tough, but it wasn't as slow. But then again, it's Colon and Bellevue. Our first quarters have just offensively not been great. We dig ourselves into a lot of holes, and so it was nice not going into halftime with a deficit. It was nice to have a halftime lead for once.
If people are looking at the scouting report and just looking at on the stat sheet in terms of your leading scorers, they may apt to want to try to take Jackson away from you. And he is your leading scorer, was last year also. But like you said, you have a veteran group. You have a lot of those guys who have played 3 or 4 years on varsity level, and they all know what to do when they're on the basketball court. When that's happening and the people are trying to take Jackson away, the eyes light up for the other guys, it seems like, a little bit?
I definitely did. They definitely did on Monday, yeah. Carter, he hit his first shot, and generally he's a good shooter. He can be streaky at times, but generally when he sees that first one go in, you know he's going to have a good day. I chuckled to myself after we won the tip-off, and Carter and Colt both looked back at me at the bench, and they just – give her, it's a box and one. I'm like, yeah, I can see that now. I'm like, yeah, just swing it over to the left side. Let's keep it moving.
So the triplets themselves, that dynamic, is there a little whatever you can do, I can do better kind of situation in practice and at games sometimes when that comes? And then in this situation here, that really can help your team a little bit.
Yeah. I think there is some internal sibling rivalry right there. If, they all want to score. But, I mean, I think at the end of the day, they all want to get the win. And so that they understand that. And so, it is kind of funny when, especially on Monday with Jackson and Carter being so close to, being the leading scorers together. I actually think that benefited us because Jackson – he was getting face guarded pretty much all night, and then he started attacking the offensive glass and got a couple second chance baskets, and that really kind of propelled him to get his night going because I'm not quite sure he scored in the first quarter because they were guarding him so tight. Okay.
And you mentioned Colt Myers had a big game. Also, I don't have his point total here, but he's been big on the boards for you lately, and a key part of this whole rotation for you as well.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Colt, he had a great night that night as well. I mean, he didn't crack the double digits, but I think he had 6 or 8 points. But I do know he had 6 assists, and his rebounds were right around 7 and 8. We absolutely, as a team, we killed it on the rebound game. Sawyer always had a great game. Brady Lightfoot came off the bench and got 6 boards and a few very big second chance offensive rebounds, and one in particular that he kicked it out into Jackson when Menden had everybody going to the glass, and Brady comes up and high points the ball and then kicks it right out to Jackson. Jackson drains a rhythm three. It was a thing of beauty. And then Christian also, he's playing tough right now.
So the 4-1 start is about as good as you can hope for, including a win over your nemesis Bellevue in that spurt. That 4-1 start, you guys have huge goals for this year with the veteran group coming back. Talk about that start and how important that was to make sure that things are going in the right direction right from the beginning and you don't put yourself in a hole.
Yeah, we kind of looked at the schedule once we got it finalized, and we were like, well, we wanted to kind of stack the schedule, but Fortunately, unfortunately, at the same time, it seemed the conference wanted to stack us early too, and so we've been playing a lot of quality opponents. We haven't had quite one of those breather games yet, where you go into one and you think, okay, we just got more than they got tonight, and so it's been a good start. I think it builds a lot of confidence when we're playing a tough schedule and we're getting wins like this, and then our next four or five games are all against quality opponents too. The way we looked at it is, let's stack the schedule. Let's play the best. If we want to be the best, we got to play the best and we got to beat the best. And so getting these big wins early in the year is helping with momentum and helping with confidence with the group.
And going forward, you have a busy off for the holidays. You don't get to take a ton of days off for the holidays. You're going to be involved in the Chuck Turner Classic yourself on Friday, playing Union City, and then you're going to play two games after that following week. So a busy holiday schedule. Is that what you wanted in terms of keeping these guys in tune and keeping their mind right?
Yeah. With this team specifically, we wanted to make sure we had a little bit more of a busy holiday. We wanted to avoid that, that little holiday hangover, if you will. When you only play one game in 20 days, it's kind of tough to keep momentum and everything like that. And so, we kind of stacked the schedule. I mean, we knew we were going to play Union City at the Fieldhouse, and then Howardsville Christian, we just had an opportunity to play them at Cornerstone University in a little bit of a showcase. And then we're also getting East Jordan on January 3rd, the day after we played Howardsville Christian. We're going up to University of Michigan and playing at Chrysler. They're going to be busy. They're going to be a lot of basketball over Christmas break. And hopefully that helps us stay the course for the second half of the season.
Some impressive venues you guys are going to be playing at going forward, and that's I'm sure is a treat for the guys, and that's something they're excited about. Playing the Fieldhouse around here, that's important to the kids that grew up mm-hmm. around here. But getting to play up at Cornerstone and getting to play at Chrysler also, talk about how those games at Cornerstone and Chrysler kind of came to be. That's a nice thing for those guys and kind of a bonus for their season this year.
Yeah, the game at Cornerstone with Howardsville came up. I had a chance to meet their coach, reffing AAU basketball, and we chatted it up, and we talked about playing, and they were invited to play at Cornerstone, and he sent me a text over the summer and was like, hey, I know we want to schedule each other. Let's get this one in here, and then the East Jordan game, I don't exactly know if it's a cousin or an uncle, but the Diswick's relative is the head coach at East Jordan, and so they've come down the last 2 years. We played them at Ferris State the first year. We played them at Western last year, and then they just somehow got the opportunity for us to go up to Chrysler and play, and as a big Michigan fan, I'm looking forward to that one a lot too.
That's a lot of fun for you guys, that's for sure, and getting to have that venue in Ann Arbor, that'd be awesome. So we'll be looking forward to that, and a big holiday season for the guys, and happy holidays for yourself and your team there also.
Thank you. Happy holidays, everyone out there.
We'll be back with our next Coach of the Morning here on WBCK 95.3 FM after this.
This is Brad Carpenter. Coach's Corner will be on Christmas break. As a result, Bob Coward and myself will be filling in for 1 hour on Saturday. We'll be talking gardening, taxes, and whatever else crosses our minds. So be sure to tune in and give us a call this coming Saturday, December 28th at 9 a.m. for Saturday Morning with Bob and Brad. Jim Bead will be working the phones. That's Bob and Brad this Saturday at 9 a.m. on 95.3 WBCK. Coach's Corner on WBCK, brought to you by Lakeview Ford, where community matters. Now back to the show.
This is Bill Broderick, sports editor of the Battle Creek Inquirer, back here on Coach's Corner. For our holiday hoop fans, they're excited that they'll have something to watch over the break. The Chuck Turner Classic is coming back for another year, and it's been going on for more than half a century, and they'll be at the Fieldhouse again on Friday after Christmas. A full day of basketball. It has been over 2 days the last couple of years, and it's going to be one day this year. It'll be starting at 10 o'clock and go into the night, 10 o'clock in the morning. It starts with a girls' game at 10 a.m., St. Phil against Union City. That'll be followed by 11:50 a.m. game between St. Philip Boys and Union City. Then at scheduled for 1:40, the Harper Creek Girls will play city rival Lakeview. And host Valkyrie Central Girls will then play Monroe St. Mary's at 3:30. And then a big doubleheader to end the night. City rivals all taking the court and back-to-back. Harper Creek will be playing Lakeview and boys basketball for the only time this season in a game scheduled for 5:20. And in the nightcap, it will feature host Valkyrie Central playing Penfield at 7 o'clock. It'll be a lot of fun for basketball hoop fans. You can get one ticket for all the games all day long down at the Fieldhouse on Friday. We'll be back with our next Coach of the Morning here on WBCK 95.3 FM after this.
This is Brad Carpenter. Coach's Corner will be on Christmas break. As a result, Bob Coward and myself will be filling in for 1 hour on Saturday. We'll be talking gardening, taxes, and whatever else crosses our minds. So be sure to tune in and give us a call this coming Saturday, December 28th at 9 a.m. for Saturday Morning with Bob and Brad. Jim Mead will be working the phones. That's Bob and Brad this Saturday at 9 a.m. on 95.3 WBCK. Coach's Corner on 95.3 WBCK. Proudly brought to you by Lakeview Ford, where community matters. Here's Coach's Corner.
This is Bill Broderick, sports editor of the Battle Creek Inquirer, back with our next Coach of the Morning here with Coach Matt Bowling of the Harper Creek Beavers. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning, Bill. Good to see you.
You too. Harper Creek played a couple times this week as they head into the holiday break. And on Monday, you played, was that a Monday game or a Tuesday game?
It was a Tuesday game.
Yeah, you played Porter Central, and you rallied in the second half to send this game into overtime, and you won 76-74. In that extra period, Traycon Cotton had the go-ahead basket, and then Braxton List stole the inbounds pass to seal the win. Talk about what you can learn from your team in terms of, or what they can learn also, winning a close game like that against a good opponent.
Well, to go on the road was, and to get that win was big. My big takeaway was, I mean, we were in control most of the second half. We did a really good job under 10 seconds, 12 seconds to take their shooters away. Then I think probably their fourth option threw up a three and made it with and sent the game to overtime. But what I learned a lot about our kids, which I kind of already knew, but how tough we are mentally and how resilient we are. And we didn't let that phase us. We just kept playing. The thought was there kind of between us coaches and we were kind of undersized is that do we foul? But we took the shooters away, so we didn't foul and let it play out. And we thought it would be a long rebound and we'd be in good position to do it. But the kid made a heck of a shot. And like I said, our kids are resilient and they just kept playing, which is the proudest thing I can say as a coach. And we battled through and we went to the bench and nobody hung their head. No one was upset. And we just battled. I think they also learned a little bit about they need to make some free throws down the stretch. I think we were about 1-6 down the stretch there. Or we could have just put that thing away if we would have just made a few free throws. But that is what it is. We'll keep working on that part and getting better there. But the resiliency and the mental toughness and composure we had was outstanding.
Trey had 15 points to lead you, but again, balanced scoring, which has been your hallmark this year. Braden Best had 14. Dylan Eversall had 12. Maddox McCarty had 11. And that's, like you said, a nice win on the road in non-conference play against
very good team,
a big Division I school there. And that's a bonus for you and give you guys some confidence going forward. And then you came back and played Thursday night before the break. Everyone was playing on Thursday and a big win that kind of went down the wire again. You're playing the defending champs from the IA last year in Parma Western, and you came away with a 51-45 win, winning on the road against the defending champs in the IA in Parma Western. That has to give you guys the kind of confidence that you wanted going into the holiday break.
That felt good, too. We controlled the game from start to finish, to be honest. We were up 34-18 at the half. had a really good first half shooting the basketball, did a very nice job. They made some adjustments coming out of the half. We responded to those adjustments. We still got good looks, but we kind of fell in love a little bit with the three, like we kind of talked about. We need some balance between points in the paint and some threes, and we kind of, you know, lost some of that balance that half. But we did enough to hold on and to take care of the basketball. And then, you know, we spent a lot of time, too, in the fourth quarter going east and west. But once we made those adjustments and got north and south and got to the basket, our free throws were better. And we held on and, like I said, did enough to make sure it never got below a two-possession game. So, you know, it would have been nice to open that thing up. But to win on the road, like I told the kids, we're not going to apologize for that, and we're not going to apologize for getting a win in that building, because that's a tough place to play. And very pleased with how we held on and did what we needed to do. Wasn't always the prettiest in the second half, kind of like the tail of two halves, but it didn't matter. A win's a win, and we're getting out of there and moving on and feeling good about it.
Braxton Liss and Trey Cotton had 11 points each, and Spencer Denny chipped in with 9, and that opens the year at 6-1 for you guys, and a really nice start for this team. That was, you know, you guys are kind of early part of last year hovering below 500 for a long time, and you got hot at the end of the last year, and maybe that confidence from the end of last year has kind of spilled over to this year. The 6-1 start to start this season, you got to be thrilled with that.
Oh, we'll take that for sure. I mean, I'm sure the kids would tell you they'd like to make it one more in there.
That's right.
But I'm pleased with it. And the part that I'm really happy about is we've held in most games, with the exception of Portage. I mean, we're playing teams defensively in the 40s, so our defense has been a very good job, and we've done a nice job on this. And I think you can visibly, each time out, you've seen us, we're a little better. We're a little better in certain areas. So to see that improvement and, you know, the process that we're going through, I'm very happy with that too.
Going forward, a big holiday break for you, but not much of a break in terms of basketball-wise. You're going to be back in action at the Chuck Turner Classic, like we mentioned before, on Friday, playing your city rival, Lakeview. And I know that's a fun game for Harbor Creek and Lakeview to play, no matter when it happens. And nowadays, you're not in the same league anymore. It's only going to happen once a year, playing down at the Fieldhouse. And over the years, there's been some really nice games between your two teams. And I know that everyone involved on both sides is really excited about that game every year. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a great game to be played down there. I mean, when the Chuck Turner Classic kind of opened itself up, Steve and I were actually down here at Coach's Corner, and we were talking about it and thought that would be a great game to be played at that time down there. And we've kept that tradition continuing, and we're looking forward to that game. And he's got a pretty darn good team again this year, so hopefully it'll be a fun competitive game for all the fans.
And keeping sharp over the holidays also is key. You know, in some years and some generations, you didn't always play all the time over the break, and then you come back in January, and then it's almost feel like starting over, almost like a new season. So the importance from a coach's perspective on playing in the off season, how do you see that?
That's the most important part of it, is so you have something to look forward to and something to do and to keep them occupied, because otherwise those practices can get pretty dull. But like I said, we're going to come in tomorrow and Monday, and then Thursday, 3 days of prep leading into that game. And then after that, we've identified a few things, like I said, we would like to improve upon as a team, as coaches, and getting us ready for the second half of the season, along with, you know, getting ready for Penfield after that as well. So, you know, I think if you use that constructively and you're able to convince your kids that these practices are really important, that you can make some pretty big growth over the break.
Well, that sounds like a lot of fun for Harbor Creek, and that 6-1 start really has to have you guys feeling good. And I know the basketball fans in the area are going to be excited about Lakeview versus Harbor Creek over the holidays. And I want you to have a nice holiday over yourself and take a little time for yourself there, Coach.
Thanks, Bill. We'll try, and wish you and your family Merry Christmas listeners.
You too. Yeah, I want to say the same thing. Happy holidays to all the listeners. Again, we'll be off next week. Coach's Corner will be away. But the Saturday after New Year's, we'll be back talking to the coaches about that Chuck Turner Classic and looking ahead to the games in 2025. That's it for Coach's Corner down here at Lakeview Ford. I'm Bill Broderick, sports editor at Battle Creek Inquirer. Good morning, everybody, and thanks for listening.